Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
Them fell right down that rabbit hole. So reality is questionable. Try, but you just can't let it go. These two right here put on a show. It's paranormal overload with Southern hospitality. Haunted murder mayhem tip while discussing immortality. Locations with a dark past. History that comes to life. Hillbillies with a knack for everything that goes bump at night. Overthinking if you're by yourself. These two will have you turning on the lights. Mixing in a little comedy to make sure it all fits in just right. Hey.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now here's your hosts, Jerry and Tracy Parker, and their dog, Ninja.
And sometimes their cat, Freddy. But never the ferrets.
This is M. Schultz.
And this is Christine Schieffer.
From And That's Why We Drink. We want to give Jerry and Tracy a big congratulations. Congratulations, guys.
We love you guys.
Woo!
Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 366 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Tracy.
Tracy, we'd like to start off every one of our episodes by thanking all of our military and civil servants all over the world, no matter which country you represent. Thanks to all of you men, women, and service animals for everything you do for us.
Amen. We love you guys so much, and keep up the great work. And hurry up and come home already.
Absolutely. Now, it's getting close to that time. It's getting ready to be holiday seasons.
Yep.
And, you know, people struggle more during the holiday season, more towards the autumn and winter months than they do the rest of the year. Just, you know, I guess it just makes sense. It's a little gloomier sometimes outside. We like to make sure that people realize if you are going through some mental struggles, whatever that may be, please talk to somebody, whether it be us, whether it be our fantastic group, or whether it be professionals or your friends or your families. Talk to someone. You know, I posted a meme earlier today on my personal page that basically said that your mind is the worst prison that you could ever be in.
That's very true.
And that, like you said, that it couldn't be any more true. Everything that your mind can create is usually 10 times worse than what reality is.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I never really thought of it that way, but when you say it like that, it does make a lot of sense.
So just realize, and I've said this for years, it's helped me get through my depression. Things are never as bad as they seem. They're also never as good as they seem. Don't get too high on the highs and don't get too low on the lows.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of ride the waves. But if you guys would rather call the crisis hotline, it's 988. You can also text at 741-741. And we love you guys.
Tracy, tonight's story is going to be very fitting because you guys wanted some missing 411 stories. Mm-hmm. I think those stories are more specific than just disappearance stories. But what I did find were some unexplained disappearance stories in our national parks, which sounds a lot like the 411 stories, missing 411 stories. But I think these are a little bit different, but still they're pretty interesting nonetheless. And it actually works out pretty good considering that we went missing last night. Since we were supposed to be doing this episode, should have came out last night.
Sorry, guys.
But Tracy had a little bit of a medical situation. It was more of a preventative situation, but she has some chest pains, and we decided to go to the hospital and get it checked out, which luckily it turned out to not be cardiac related. At least that's what they told us.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to come home last night. But I knew that by the time we left, and just the procedure takes place of going through an ER. If you've ever been in an ER, it's a 3 or 4 hour deal no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew that we weren't going to be able to get the episode out last night. So I just kind of put out a little message saying, hey, we were going to miss the episode. We'd let people know later. But that's what it was.
Yeah. So. Sorry, guys. We kind of, I don't know what the heck happened, but. Anyway, I feel pretty good right now, so hopefully it was a fluke. I don't even know if you can call it a fluke or whatever, but anyway, we're back. Thank you guys for your concern. I love y'all.
But let that be a lesson to you. Don't put anything ahead of your health. If you feel like you're having chest pains, even if you think it could be, you know, indigestion, or it could just be a rough day at work, or whatever you think it is, don't just assume. Go get it checked out.
Absolutely.
We also want to give a big shout out to the Baptist Healthcare Nursing Unit last night, especially Morgan and Amber. They did a fantastic job of taking care of us, as they always do there. Great hospital. And I'm telling you, these guys are the best. So if you're in the Lexington area, Baptist Health is where you need to go. We absolutely love those guys. But every time we go there, we're treated like royalty, and they have no clue who the hell we are. So it's not because they feel like we're somebody special. They just treat everybody that way. But Morgan and Amber, thank you guys so much for doing everything you could for us last night. You guys are the best. We also have our buddy Charles Rosenay on later tonight. He was on before when he had a book of horror list that was out. And now he's got his book of top 10 Beatles lists.
Uh-oh. Are you down?
Oh, no. No, he didn't. Oddly enough, he did not come to me for my top 10 list. But what it is, it's a bunch of celebrities and a bunch of people tied in. He's like Pete Best, the original drummer for the Beatles, actually has a list in there. And it's not your standard, like, top 10 songs or whatever. It's literally could be top 10 anything to do with the Beatles, but they also explain why it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a list. It's a little more than that. But he's got some people in there that he dug up that, you know, you just wouldn't even believe. I think he's got, if I remember correctly, it's like Paul McCartney's stepmom has a list in there. And like I said, Pete Best and mm-hmm. some other people that were like producers and stuff, even before George Martin. And so, yeah, it was amazing, some of the people he dug up. Then he's got just a bunch of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tommy James is in there, from Tommy James and the Shondells.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. It's on Amazon. But we also talk about, because he does tours over to Dracula's Castle.
Nice.
So we talk a little bit about that. And he owns, he does some Paracons up in the Northeast and all that. So we get in a little bit of, it's not just about Beatles. It's of some paranormal stuff in there too.
Good. Sounds great.
All right. So Tracy, this first story, it's a little different than your normal missing person story. This one may actually have some paranormal mixed in with it. This just happened about 2 years ago, matter of fact, in July, on July 21st, 2021. Jake and Victoria Gorba, they're from California, they decided that they were going to take a little trip to the Madera County Mountains. They brought along the three children on this trip. Now, along the way, they decided to stop off on the side of the road, nice little peaceful forestry type area, and have a little picnic lunch. To their surprise, 3-year-old Caden, their son, starts talking to someone that they couldn't see.
Oh.
When his parents questioned him on who he was looking at or talking to, well, he started to give them more details. And these details sent chills down their spine. He was in the car looking at the woods and pointing to a little certain spot in a meadow area. Now, Caden started to describe the woman that he was seeing. He said there's a lady over in that meadow. She has on a black shirt, a pair of jeans, and she has blue hair. She needs our help, but she's dead.
What the heck?
She's lying face down with her legs up, and she can't talk to me, but she's over there. We need to get help.
Aww.
How spooky is that?
Yeah, that's really spooky.
Well, they didn't really know what to think, but they went over and they searched that area and they didn't see anything.
So was she laying there like with her feet up like a possum that's been hit by a car?
I don't know.
That's all I can picture.
I don't know if he got that descriptive, but it does remind me of that raccoon we saw on the side of the road. Well, something about Caden's insistence had them convinced that he believed what he was saying.
Well, yeah.
He saw something.
Well, I mean, at 3 years old, I think that would be a little hard to make up.
Caden kept saying, "Trust me, Mom." And Victoria kept telling Caden that, you know, she 100% believed him. Now, hours later, the family was still in shock by the incident. They went to Facebook and they shared their story, hoping that it would make sense to somebody. And much to their surprise, it did. Before long, the couple got a call from a local sheriff. Now, what the sheriff would tell them would take the story to an even more intense direction. Madera County Sheriff Corporal Chris Williams had spotted the post on Facebook just by pure luck. Something about the boy's description of the woman stopped him in his tracks. Williams had been working on a missing person case for more than a year with very few leads. The missing person was Sandra Hughes. She had disappeared in the Sierra National Forest on June 26, 2020. Now, this was fewer than 5 miles from where the family had stopped for lunch. Caden's description, all the way down to the blue hair, matched Sandra Hughes' description.
Wow, that's incredible.
At the time of the disappearance, Hughes was an avid hiker. She had planned a solo camping trip in the forest. A search team eventually saw signs of her camp that was in Johnson Meadows area of the forest. They also found personal documents and information that proved Hughes had been there. Also found were her car, which had been abandoned near a creek, and it appeared to have been in an accident. Now, police believe that she had lost control of her car and hit a tree. Another hiker claimed to have seen her near the accident scene, where Hughes claimed that she was okay and then she walked off. That was the last time that anybody saw Sandra Hughes. So the sheriff calls the family and he asked if they can, if he can talk to them ASAP. He told them that he wanted more information and he wanted to bring them up to that area so they could maybe take him to the exact same spot where they say the boy said he saw her. Victoria was shocked, but after learning about the missing woman and how much the description matched, she said things kind of started to make sense. So the following day, Caden and his dad rode back up to the mountain with the sheriff. Unfortunately, the search turned up nothing, and the case still remains open. The Gorbas said that they will not be able to shake the spookiness of their son's ghost story anytime soon. And for whatever the reason, the 3-year-old was given a message from beyond the grave.
Wow.
But there's just so many cases of people that just go missing. You know, I was reading one, and I don't have all the details, but it was basically these three women. This was in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But these three women were hiking up the side of a mountain. They got to a little section where it was kind of cleared and flat, and one of the three said she didn't feel like she could go on. She was just, you know, too worn out or something.
Mm-hmm.
So the other two said, okay, we'll finish, and when we come back down, we'll grab you, and we'll all go down together. And then when they came back down, she wasn't there, and they never saw her again. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And there's a bunch of those stories out there. I remember there was one of about like a 70-some-year-old man that, you know, he had a hurt foot or a hurt leg,
mm-hmm.
so he was barely able to move, and he stayed sitting on a rock, and when they got back to him, he wasn't there, and they never saw him again. It's just...
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
you know, if you're going to hurt a leg,
and you you're can not going to move. Yeah, you're not going to try. How far away are you going to go? Yeah, no, of course.
So I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some housekeeping and Charles Rosenay. All right, Tracy, we are less than 2 weeks away from our show in Detroit. Ticket sales are really nice.
So excited. I cannot wait.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun show. And if you listen Saturday, you got to hear the MC.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah was on the Macabre Misfortunes. I almost forgot the name of the show. We do too many shows. But it, she was. We tagged her on at the end of Macabre Misfortunes and talked a little bit about the Detroit area and talked a little bit about the show in itself and talked about the Presque Isle Lighthouse, which I think we're going to on Friday, weather permitting.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if the weather's be bad or not. It's 2 weeks from now. So
yeah, you never
know. They
can't
tell us what it's going to do tomorrow.
No.
2 weeks from now.
For sure.
But yeah, I can't wait. We'll be up there and get to go on the lake and be able to check out the Presque Isle Lighthouse and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I'll be sitting at the bottom, not going up in it, so.
Well, this lighthouse is small, though.
Oh, is it? Okay, okay.
Yeah, I think this one, because it's like 14 stories or something. I think we discussed at St. Augustine, and I think this was more like 5.
Oh,
but
well, I could probably handle that.
I don't even know if you got the ability to go up in the lighthouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that type, but it'd be interesting to see. Can't wait. Be able to hang out with Sarah for a little bit. But yeah, Justin Rimmel and from Mysterious Circumstances, the boys from Brohio are going to be there. It's going to be an absolute blast. There'll probably be cupcakes or something.
Probably. You think the cupcakes are the winning factor?
Yeah.
To get everybody there?
I think it's the winning factor. But it's going to be a blast. We've done some extra stuff. If you've been to one of our shows already this year, we used a projector and everything, and we have some fun with it. But I even put some extra stuff into this one, being our birthday, and we're going to have a blast with it.
Oh, good, honey.
We're down to like 14 tickets left to the show with the confessionals, Tony Merkel and the confessionals in Gatlinburg. So if you haven't got tickets to that and you plan on going, you might want to snatch them up.
Yeah.
And what else we got going on? We got one more show. Which one is it?
The Bell
Mansion.
Yeah.
With Justin Rimmel, those tickets are almost gone.
Nice.
So we're getting ready to probably if you're listening to this on Monday, probably by the end of the day, I will have some tickets on sale for just the live show. So you won't get the investigation or any of that, but we are going to open up some tickets for just the live show. And so you're still going to get 4 hours from 6 to 10 of shows and being able to buy merch and all that for $25.
Nice.
So we heard some people saying, hey, $75 is steep. We'd like to do all that, but it's a little tough right now and completely understand.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to the people up at the Bell Mansion and said, hey, here's what we want to do. And we got it worked out. So we're going to be able to offer, I think, 20 tickets or so at the $25.
Well, good.
So those will be on sale today at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
Wonderful.
And that rounds out our year of shows.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
This year has flown. We've had so many things happen, and whew.
Yeah, it's not been the best of years. It's we've had some positives out of it, but medically and losing Ninja and everything else, it's been a year I'll be glad to see go away.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping the second half of the year is better than the first half.
It will be. It will be.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
All right. With that being said, let's listen to Tracy tell us about our Patreons and stuff.
All right. Well, we had a lot of wonderful reviews. Thank you guys so much. That means the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to do it. We have, of course, Mojo Lobster Never Lets Us Down.
Who we get to meet in Detroit.
I know, and I am so freaking excited about that. We have Green Fire 7047, Sarah Susie, Susan Bowman, Candle Melva, and Belle's Baby. Thank you guys so, so much for your reviews. I think one of those reviews were for your other podcast.
Yeah, that was, and we think for everybody who's starting to listen to that, I will urge you to at least go listen to a couple of episodes. It's not your thing. It's not your thing. But I think you're going to find it's a lot closer to what we do on here than what it used to be back when it was Warning. So it's just stories that all have strange twists.
Yeah.
And it could be any genre. We've talked UFOs. We've talked true crime. We've talked time slips already. So I think most people, and we've had, I think, 7 reviews since we started up, and all of them have been 5 stars.
Oh, good. That's wonderful.
So, yeah. Not as raunchy.
Yeah, nice, Raunchy. By any means. Our Patreons is Tiffany Aiken, Mark, and Mickey Stoddard. Thank you guys for your support. It means the world to us, and we appreciate you guys so much.
And Mark is separate than Mickey. She made them sound like a couple.
Oh.
Mark and Misty.
Stoddard. Oh, sorry.
Mark and Mickey Stoddard.
Oh, my bad. That's true. I should have put a pause in between there.
All right, guys. Let's listen to Charles Rosner.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, I love having return guests on the show, and that's what we've got today. I've got author Charles Rosner on the show. Do you like going by author? You have so many different hats, Charles. It's hard to pin you down to one.
It's funny because I think the author one is like the most credibility one, you know, actor, okay, producer. Oh, that's a little falutin. You know, there's a lot of titles, but I think the author one is cool. It's the most recent one in my portfolio, so to speak.
And it's actually the most fitting because today we've got you on to talk about your newest book, which I'm actually excited about because everybody knows I'm as big a Beatle fan as I am a paranormal fan. And you've got your top 10 Beatles list from celebrities book out. It's the book of top 10 Beatles list. You did this. We had you on before when you had your horror book out where people had their list. Tell me about this book.
Well, I just want to preface by saying when we were on together for the first time, and we talked about the book of top 10 horror lists, that's when you divulge that you were a big Beatles fan. And I'm like, this guy is, you know, we're twins in different areas because he's got the Beatles love, he's got the monsters and the paranormal love. And forever, you know, people were saying, Charles, when are you going to write a book on the Beatles? Because that's my first go-to. People, you know, equate me with the Beatle conventions and festivals, and I used to publish a magazine on the Beatles. Yeah, but I love the horror stuff as well. And I said, well, look at the horror book. It's got 9 Beatle chapters. You know, it's got 9 Monkees chapters. It's hopefully going to take care of those people. It didn't. They wanted a full Beatle book out of me. And I thought, well, the horror book went so smooth. People loved it so much that I would stay with the same theme of getting celebrities to give me their top 10 lists. And thus, the book of top 10 Beatle lists came out. And I'm just so excited about it because people are loving it.
I want to remind people that, like I said, you wear many hats.
Yeah.
I know, you know, you put on, I think this past year, you put on your first paranormal convention. So you've got a lot of paranormal ties. You take tours over to Dracula's castle.
That's right.
And but you also take the tours over during Beatle Week to Liverpool.
Right.
And so, I mean, like I said, you do a lot of stuff. And at one point you, I think, owned a haunted attraction up in Connecticut. Do you still do that?
For many years. So that was a very successful. It was an indoor, Connecticut's largest indoor one. I sold it during before COVID. And last year started up something called the Haunted Trolley, which is an actual ride on an antique trolley. And then we, you know, make a lot of crazy things go on during that. But yeah, you're right. Dracula Tour, which is www.dractours.com. We visit Dracula's castle and all the scariest and historic places in Transylvania. The Beatle Tours to Liverpool during Beatle Week. But in Connecticut, I did my third paranormal convention. Last year when we spoke, I did my first one in Salem, Mass. So we're going to be
doing. That's what I was thinking.
So we're going to be doing the second one of those come November 11th and 12th. and it's the Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention, which is salemparacon.org. And just everything I do is like what I love. I'm just so happy to be able to, you know, it brings people joy. It brings me joy, and I don't have to get on a roof in the hot summer and, you know, actually put up shingles or whatever, you know, the real humans do on this planet. God bless them.
I've had people tell me, man, I would really love to have your life. And I'm like, I would love to have Charles Rosenay's life.
Oh, because see, there you go.
Everything that I love and get to do, you get to do on steroids. And it's just like, man, so... Okay, so I've got you on here for one specific reason. I wanted to touch on all the other stuff, obviously, because you do have a lot of stuff going on.
Yes.
But I've got to know about this Beatles book. I just found out about it recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, we've got to have Charles on to talk about this book. And I don't have a copy of the book yet. I'm going to get it. But Woo-hoo. I need to know who is in this book. Who submitted top 10 lists?
Well, I will tell you that it's... about a third. So I went for the Beatles fans and the purists. I had to get real deep with people, you know, who are connected to the Beatles and are still alive and are still vibrant. You know, John Lennon's sister wrote the foreword. Bill Harry, who was there when they started, he's the guy who wrote Mersey Beat magazine and literally covered the Beatles from their inception, wrote the afterword. But inside, you're going to find people like Paul McCartney's stepmom, Angie McCartney. You're going to find Joey Molland from Badfinger. In fact, four different people connected with Badfinger, three different people connected to the Quarrymen. So a lot of the Beatles' real history have given me, those guys have given me the Beatles' top 10 list. And then a third of it was other rockers, other musicians, Elliot Easton from The Cars, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, guys from
Great Vanilla. Guitarist.
Right? Amazing guitarist. Guys from Vanilla Fudge, Gary Puckett, Ron Dante from the Archies. So a third of it was, I'm not going to say Beatle contemporaries, but certainly other musicians and rockers. And then a third of it, Jerry, nothing to do with the Beatles. People like Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong, who actually found a way to connect with the Beatles because he was friends with George Harrison. And I'd forgotten that George Harrison recorded on some of their singles. But Dave Winfield, the Baseball Hall of Famer, singer Leo Sayer, actress Mackenzie Phillips, who admitted sleeping with Paul, but that's a whole nother story. Dana Manoff, the actress who was in Grease and in Soap. Yep. So it's a lot of these cool pop, you know, yes, if you're a Beatle fan, you're going to love this book. But if you're pop culture geek like you and I are, and you love the celebrity stuff, and you love top 10 lists, this book, you just go from page to page, from chapter to chapter, and from list to list, and you love it. And it's not just lists. I mean, it's not just people saying, oh, my favorite song, 1, 2, 3, 4. I got to get their reasons why. And some of them, like Phil Fang Volk, from the bass player from Paul Revere and the Raiders, you know, one of those legendary legacy artists. He goes into reasons for every list he picked. And Larry Kane, who was the journalist who traveled with the Beatles because he was picked as this young journalism to follow them on their tour. His list is the 10 most memorable concerts they did, because he was at all of them. So all those chapters, if you're a Beatles fan or just a general music guy, you're gonna love each and every chapter. But I have to emphasize that it's not just lists. It's the reasons for the lists. It's stories. It's people, personal. And it's special.
It's funny because you're talking about the journalist that was picked to travel with him. He was not thrilled about that situation when initially he was given that job.
It's true.
But then he grew to just absolutely love the guys and said it was the most amazing thing. But yeah, it was like, oh, great. This is what they've given me to do. And now I'm stuck with it, you know, in the beginning, but turned out to be a blessing for him.
And he's since written a few books on it. You know, he's done panels and discussions, and he does talks on it. But, you know, there was a British contemporary of his named Ivor Davies. Now, Ivor was also this young British journalist who covered the Beatles, too, on those tours. And also went with them when they met Elvis. Him and Mal Evans were the only two non-Beatles in that room besides Elvis and whatever mafia of Memphis mafia of Elvis were there. So he wrote his own book. He talks about that. But he gave me a great list. And it's just, you know, you go page to page to page and it's like, how did he find these guys? I love what people say. How did you find them? And how did you get them to give you a list? And whoa, I'm so psyched to read about it because it's just, it's factoids and it's trivia and it's stuff that, you know, people like us, we eat it up.
Well, you mentioned Badfinger.
Yeah.
And people who listen to our show have heard me, I don't know how many different times, say that I think Badfinger is the most underrated band ever. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't even know who they were until the last episode of Breaking Bad. And I'll say this ahead of time, because this will be something I guarantee you've never heard before.
Tell me.
I am preaching my own funeral. And I say preaching loosely. I am actually doing all the audio for my own funeral. It's all recorded. It's all done.
Oh, my.
And it's not... My funeral is not going to be people coming up and saying nice things about me. It's me saying nice things about people in my life that have made it special and dedicating songs to them. Wow. And Baby Blue is my second favorite song of all time. As much as I'm a Beatles fan, they've got plenty of songs in there, but my second favorite song of all time is Baby Blue. And that's actually one of the songs being played in my funeral.
And the epitaph is, I guess he got what he deserved.
I guess so.
I got what I deserved. Yep. Oh, you got that. Okay.
But I was going to do a podcast series called Musical Misfortunes.
Yeah.
And I was going to do just bands that had, you know, these crazy, crazy types of situations. And I did one episode and it was on Badfinger and the suicides and everything that how they got screwed over by their manager and all that. And I just didn't get time to do it all. And then we started doing another show called Macabre Misfortunes, which deal with everything, anything that's just involves death that is crazy. And we just, I decided to start putting some musical ones in that. And I covered this past Saturday, Brad Delp from Boston you know, his life and his ending and all that, and all the lawsuits that took place afterwards. I really enjoy doing the music ones and I wish I had more time to be able to do a whole podcast like I did the other Badfinger, but wow. I'll have to send you that episode. Cause I think you of all people would appreciate.
Well, a few things. One, you know, Brad, I don't know if he was down and out, but after Boston ended years later, he was the lead singer
of a Beatles tribute band. Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And he did all the vocals. He did the Paul, the John, the Dream, and he was supposed to be amazing. I never got to see them.
He's awesome. There is a bunch of videos up on YouTube. You can pull them up. He sounds more like Paul than the others, but he does a good George. But yeah, it's amazing how much he can change his voice. And dude, they were playing high schools and stuff like that. They said he would stay for 2 hours and sign every autograph.
Amazing.
It's a shame how his life ended. He seemed like such a great guy.
Well, you talk about the misfortunes. Badfinger is on probably on the top of that list as a band, and Pete Best, who gave me an amazing list, is probably on the top of a misfortune list for a whole nother reason, of course.
Right.
But yeah, the other guys who have connections with Badfinger are in the book, and this the misfortunes probably started back then. Ron Griffith, who was the original member of the Ivies, who was replaced by Joey Molland. Joey Molland is in the book. Jeffrey Allen Ross, who was, I don't know if that's a name you know, he's Peter Asher's music director.
Okay,
and I didn't know it. And he toured with Badfinger. And then there's one other in there, and why am I drawing? Oh, Bob Jackson, who replaced Joey Molland for a while. He was with the original three. Still tours in England as Badfinger UK occasionally. And next month when I do my Beatles tour to London and Liverpool, we're meeting up with him. So I've never met him before. I'm gonna hear the real scoop of how he became part of Badfinger without Joey Mollen for a while, and then of course Joey came back. And you're right, it's a book and a history of its own, the whole Badfinger scenario.
Well, the Turtles do a tour every year of the Happy Together tour, and they put all these different older groups together. They're actually coming to the Kentucky State Fair on my birthday next month. And I was planning on going because something that I had read said that Badfinger was going to be there. And then when I actually did a little more research, I found out they're doing some of the stops with them, but it's not very many, but this wasn't one of them. I think they're doing one up in Pennsylvania or something like that. But he's going to be up there for that. But I was so disappointed because I thought I was finally going to get to see some semblance of Badfinger. Oh. I mean, it's never going to be Badfinger without Pete Ham.
Right.
But still, yeah. I wanted to be able to hear those songs and hear at least one original member, and wasn't going to happen. So I'm disappointed.
Well, he keeps the spirit alive and he does tour a lot. And you're going to hear all the hits, and you can hear his, and it's, he just, you know, his guitar playing's right on there. Depending on which band he's with, they either sound amazing or it's like, all right, well, he was still who he is. The Happy Together short show is an interesting show in that Mark Volman, who's not well, is still touring. Howard, who's the other member, Howard Kalin, retired from touring. Ron Dante from the Archies has taken his place. So they're the headliners. And then you got Gary Puckett, who's amazing. Little Anthony, who just shocks everyone and steals the show. The Cowsills open it, and they're just, you know, the more fun. It's a great show. If you go to the Happen Together, even if it's not with Joey Mollen, no Badfinger connection, go see the Happy Together show. You're going to love it.
Oh, I have to. I go every year and see them. Yeah. The lineup hadn't changed a whole lot from this year, from last year to year before. But,
right,
you know, I've seen Gary Puckett more times than I think I could count in that tour, going all the way back probably 10, 12 years ago when they come to the fair every year. And, you know, I love them. So I love my oldies, and to go be able to see the Cowsills and the Classic Five. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's a Classic Four, but
Classic Four, yeah. He took the place of the original singer, the lead singer, and he does a great job. And of course, Gary Puckett's in the book with a great list. And so when that tour comes around, I get to see him and I get to see the people on that tour. The last time I saw them was Long Island about a month ago, and I gave them copies of the book and they loved it. So that was really nice.
So how long has this book been out?
It's been out. Well, I'll tell you when it went to when I finished it. When closed was February 9th, 2023. Now, how do I know that? Because February 9th is a very famous date in Beatle history.
It's the Beatles on Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan. So that, you know, it came out a month or two after that. But the key was getting it done on that date. And the key was getting 64 celebrities to be in the book, because that's the other magic number with the Beatles. 64 is, of course, when they came to America, and the song, and it was in my brain, will I ever finish? Well, yes, when I hit 64, and that's what I did. I finished the book when I hit 64 celebrities.
I don't know. I'm going to guess you're probably well-versed on this. So I'm going to bring it up. If you're not, it'd be something we edit out. How about that? But you brought up February 9th. You brought up that was a special day in Beatle history, of course, for Ed Sullivan. But that number 9 was a very special number to John Lennon.
Wasn't it? Yeah, so many ways and so many things. And, you know, between song titles and all that, there's somebody who loves the conspiracy theory things, and I'm not going to share this with him this broadcast, but he could write a book on the reasons that the number 9 is connected to John Lennon, how it's connected to his passing, how it's connected to Yoko. There's a whole podcast in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's an interesting, obviously, he was born on October 9th in 1940. Yes. You know, he had all these different dates. Like you said, they run Ed Sullivan on the 9th, and he realized it. So, you know, he would write songs like Number 9 Dream, because he knew that the number 9 had, you know, and in Revolution Number 9 and on son, the White Apple, he knew it.
Sean was born also on the same date. They came to America on February 7th. 2 + 7 = 9. You can go on and on forever with the 9 number. And yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, he died here in America. It was December 8th. But in England, where he was born, it was December 9th. So,
right.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. What else you want to talk about tonight, Mark?
You were going to stump me with the number 9. I'm going to stump you with a name. You ready?
Yep.
Chaz Newby. You got to be a real incredible Beatles diehard guy to know this one. The man passed away, but I got his list in the book because we met in Liverpool, believe it or not, at the unveiling of the Brian. I'm stalling so you can think. At the unveiling of the Brian Epstein statue in Liverpool. Doesn't ring a bell, right?
Was Chaz Newby, was he the owner of the Cavern Club?
No, that's a gentleman by the name of Ray McFall. Chaz Newby was the Beatles' first left-handed bassist. And you're going to wonder, how's that possible? When the Beatles came back from Hamburg, Stu Sutcliffe stayed behind.
Correct.
Paul hadn't moved over to bass, and they were short a member. A local musician who they were friends with, Chaz Newby, came and did 4 dates with them for a week. And he was a left-handed bassist. And when he was done with those 4 dates, Paul moved over. And as they say, the rest is history.
You know, that's always a funny saying, I always think, because actually everything in the past is history, but it is what it is. I can't. No, and oddly enough, I'm surprised I did not know that. But that's actually new information that I had never heard before. I had no idea somebody stepped in between Stewart and
And Paul. What's great is for me as this Beatles purist, I was in a way like a Beatle detective, because I was really looking to find a handful of people so that the real Beatle nuts are going to say, oh my God, I can't believe you got him. Chaz Newby, I'd like to think, is one of them. The other one was a gentleman by the name of Frank Ifield. And you got to be older than both of us to remember Frank Ifield, because when the Beatles came out and they were flooding the market with not just Capitol Records, but there was VJ, Tolly, Swan, all these record labels who had any kind of rights to anything were putting out Beatle product. Well, VJ had 1 album's worth of albums, and they put out Introducing the Beatles. And that was, along with Meet the Beatles, one of the first albums to come out. Well, how could they repackage this 1 album more than once? Well, they put a different cover on. Okay, came out twice. They also, VJ also had the 4 Seasons on their label. So they put out a deluxe album called The Beatles versus the 4 Seasons, where they put one album of Beatles, 4 Seasons. Very rare, by the way. Well, they also had this other artist named Frank Ifield, who had a hit called I'll Remember You, which very few people remember because it's pre-Beatles. But they put out an album called Jolly What, 2 different covers with the Beatles and Frank Ifield on the album. Well, the Beatles actually, as it turned out, loved Frank Ifield. He was one of those heroes you never hear. You'll hear it's Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Elvis Presley. You don't hear how much they loved the unknowns, like, well, lesser knowns, I should say, like Charlie Gracie from Philadelphia, or this guy, Frank Ifield. Well, sure enough, I contacted Frank Ifield's. I found he had a management company, contacted his manager, said no. A booking agent said no. A friend said no. They all said no on his behalf. I somehow got in touch with him, and he said, oh, gladly, I'd be honored to do it. I would love to be in your book. See, so sometimes when you talk with managers and agents, when they don't get a dollar out of it, or they think they're wasting their client's time, they don't go ahead and give you the contact number. Well, Frank Ifield not only gave me a great list for my book, but also sent me this amazing photo of John Lennon going to his show at the Palladium in London and trying to get into the doors. And it's just an amazing photo that he sent me. Frank, wherever you are on this planet, here's a photo of John outside the Palladium, courtesy of Frank Ifield, with the poster that Frank Ifield was playing the Palladium that night, and John trying to get into the show. Whether he got in or not, I don't know. I guess he did, because I think he had a little clout by that time. But I share that because that's one of those, you know, if someone picks up the book and they're going to see, oh, Butch Patrick from the Munsters, cool. Carmen Apps, one of the greatest drummers. Yeah, yeah. Tommy James, we know all these names. And then they go, Frank Ifield, who the hell is that? Well, when you read his chapter, you know who it is, because every chapter I put in, every top 10 list, Jerry, I gave an intro so people would know who they are, why they're in the book. I put in if they have websites and how to reach them, I put that in. And of course, I put in some illustrations, photos, graphics, and their lists. So it really rounds it out so beautifully.
I know we talked last time you were on about Tommy James and my everlasting love for everything Tommy. I got to see Tommy at the Beatles Festival here shortly after that. Well, I was supposed to see him. It's the COVID year, obviously, yeah. That got canceled.
Yes.
And then, but then he came back the following year.
Abbey Road on the River.
Abbey Road on the River. And man, I had the worst seats ever.
Yeah.
I was as far back as I could possibly be and couldn't have cared less because I was just happy to be there and seeing Tommy James for the first time. And man, for somebody in his 70s, he sounds amazing. You know, when you know, no offense to Paul, but Paul's voice has been,
yeah,
gone for a long time in a level that, you know, I'll never say anything bad about Paul, but he probably shouldn't be touring right now. And, you know, I think it hurts his legacy a little bit, but not everybody feels that way. And he obviously doesn't feel that way, but yeah, Tommy still sounds great.
Tommy's, you know, he's a rock and roller. He doesn't consider himself an oldies act, and he rocks. And, you know,
he does rock.
And there's those people, you know, God bless them. It's Tommy James and Gary Puckett still has the voice. I mentioned Little Anthony before. Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees. You go see them, and how do they sound the way they did? And some do. Paul has lost some of that, obviously, with age. But you're still seeing a legacy artist. You're still playing bass. It's an honor to see him on stage. And people are going to walk away and say he doesn't have the voice he did, but they're not going to walk away disappointed because you're still.
Oh, no, he still puts on a hell of a show.
Hell of a show. Yeah, absolutely.
And he gets my credit. Just anybody, you know, him, the Stones. I mean, when you can be in your upper 70s and put on a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Ringo does it and he's 83 and he's jumping on stage and let them keep going as long as they can. And if there's people out there who know who these artists are and haven't seen them, go see them. Cause you know, I hate to say you don't know when it's going to be the last time, but while I'll say you don't know when it's going to be your last opportunity to see them. So go see them. No doubt.
Absolutely. I regret that I never got to see Tom Petty. You know, and even when he was retiring, I was like, he'll be, they all retire, but then they all come back because they miss it. And I never thought that I wouldn't get an opportunity to go see Tom Petty. And that's one of the ones that I never got to see that I really regret.
I got very lucky when George Harrison toured Japan. And I mean, I got to see McCartney tons of times, Ringo tons of times, obviously never John Lennon live. But when Harrison announced that he was touring, by then I was already doing the Beatles tours to London, Liverpool. So I figured, all right, I'll do a tour to Japan. We'll all go see him. And filled up a bus of 40 fans, sold it out like within a 2-week period. It was a month before the shows. We got to all three different concerts. Mind you, this was Eric Clapton's band. And you don't know how many people who I see, who know about it, who for the past 20, 30 years, Charles, man, I wish I went to that. I never thought I would never see, you know, give a chance to see Harrison again. Da da da. So it's the same. Yeah, you got to see him when you can.
Let me ask you this. So this is probably just going to be an opinion. Mm-hmm. John Lennon, obviously, he wasn't big on touring. He hated it with the Beatles. He made very few actual appearances on a stage, you know, from the time the Beatles broke up. I mean, with the exception of, you know, losing a bet basically to Elton John and having to show up a couple times or for some charity stuff.
Yes.
Do you think with the success that he was having with Double Fantasy and the resurgence in his career, do you think he would have started touring again had he been alive?
I will say unequivocally, yes. I think he would have toured again, and I think there were rehearsals, and I think some of the people who were, you know, the Tony Levins and the people who were, you know, on the Double Fantasy and Milk and Honey sessions, I think there would have been a tour. I think he was at that point, you know, he'd given up all the fears. He'd been a house husband. This was the time for him to come back out and do performances. I really, this is me saying yes, but obviously I can't speak on his behalf. But yeah, I do so think so, yeah.
He was unique in the way that with all the hits that he had, mm-hmm. even when he did make appearances, you know, he would do something different. He would do covers of somebody else. I never saw somebody with so much talent be so insecure in their own abilities. Oh, I heard Paul one time talk about that John hated his voice. He hated the sound of his voice. He didn't think he could sing and, you know, so many other things. But I mean, and of course, I don't know how much of it was just John being John, but you know, if you hear him tell it, he hated 99% of all the Beatles songs they ever did. And you know,
depends on what day you ask them, but you're right about the voice. Cause he would double track his own voice thinking it was too weak. And then when he went out with Elton John, go figure, they do. I saw her standing there, which was a McCartney song.
So right.
You never know. Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing just to try to get in the mind of some people and just try to figure it out. He was definitely the most complex Beatle, without a doubt.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yes. Harrison has had his complexities too, mostly, you know, considering his, the spirituality and all that. Ringo came off as the simplest, and Paul McCartney, you know, came off as the PR guy, you know, always knowing what he was going to say and all that. But Lennon was a wild card. You know, I would have loved to have gotten his top 10 list and to have heard what he thought about this book. I would have loved to have heard what Lennon thought about the whole Trump administration and the Biden administration. I would have loved to have listened to John Lennon's politics up until now. You know, we lost so much on so many levels, not just the music, but so much. Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely like to have seen, and, you know, and I kind of had this argument with people all the time, because you've got your group of people that as soon as you mention John Lennon, oh, he beat on women. He was this, he was that, he was a fighter. He preached peace. You know, John never shied away from that stuff. He said in his earlier days, he did a lot of bad stuff that he regretted, but I think John had grown. And I think you would have seen all that side going forward. And, you know, I haven't had the greatest past in the world, and I've grown a lot in the last 20 years. Yes. He didn't get that opportunity. And I think he would have been in that situation to where he could have made up for a lot of mistakes in his past and made himself happier about the person he was later in life than what he was at the time that he died.
Well said. I agree with you so much. Right. People change and people grow up. And, you know, when you're leading the lifestyle and you're in the middle of the eye of the hurricane, it's hard to grow up. And they all did. They all did in their own ways. But you're right. I agree with you about that. Well said.
Every time I listen to Help, all I can think about is, you know, that's coming straight from John's heart. That was his views. And that's what I love about John's music. You were always getting his view of exactly what was going on right then. If he writes a song called Help, mm-hmm. he's telling you exactly what he's feeling. And, you know, it was just a matter of time after that before they quit touring. And it was all part of it. You know, they wanted to be able to just get away from that part of it and get back in the, you know, the studio and do stuff that they couldn't do live.
Yeah. Yes. And now I think we'd be at a shame on us if we don't mention that there is a Beatles song that will be out before too long. They call it might be AI. It might, let's just say it's technologically advanced and it might not have been able to come out any time before now, but with today's technology, with, you know, the studio magic that they can do, the wizardry, we may have a new Beatles single, and I just can't wait to hear it. I mean, it's going to be great no matter what, you know, because it's a Beatles song. I love Free as a Bird. You know, real love grew on me even more. So I'm just, you know, thank goodness it's coming out. You know, thank goodness Get Back came out in our lifetime. And thank goodness there's another Beatles song coming out while we can still hear and appreciate it. And while two of the guys are still around, who, you know, whatever they reap, whether it's pleasure and satisfaction, you know, whether it's accolades, whether it's, you know, money that's going to eventually trickle down to their aunt, you know, whoever's left over in their family. Great. Keep it coming.
How much do you know about that song? The rumor that I'm hearing, and like I said, I've not really, you know, dove too deep in the facets of the song, but I know back when Anthology came out,
right,
there were three of John's demos,
yes,
two of which they used for Real Love and Free as a Bird, but supposedly George really didn't like the other one and didn't want to do it, and there's talk that maybe this is that third demo from back then. Have you heard any rumors on this?
Well, it hasn't been confirmed, but Now and Then was the third song. George didn't approve of it. You got to believe it's the same song. I think that we would have heard of another song if there was another song, or if there's songs in the can that we don't know about. You know, there's still supposed to be that 20-minute version of Helter Skelter that's never been. There's a few things that are supposedly out there that were never really released in their full versions and their best quality. But as far as this one, maybe it's one that's going to take us by surprise, but the more likelihood is it's the one that George didn't want. But now George isn't here to protest it, number one. And number two, with the technology, he maybe would have gone along with it.
Yeah, I wish they would redo Free as a Bird,
mm-hmm,
because I think they could probably clean up the audio even a little more now than what they could have back when that came out. Because you can still kind of hear that it sounds demo-y, even though they've doctored it.
Right. The other thing is, I love Jeff Lynne and I love his production, but I would love a remaster by George Martin's son, you know, who's done marvelous work. And I would love for, I think his name's Giles Martin, I would love for him to tackle those two songs and put them out together with the new one that's coming out. Cause I would love a production from him and a non. And again, I preface by saying I love Jeff Lynne and I love his work and I love ELO, but I would love a non Jeff Lynne ized version of it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to end my Beatle questions with this. Now this will be one that only a real Beatles fan will have an answer to. And everybody else listening, it's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Go on.
What is your favorite version of Across the Universe?
Oh, I gotta have the birds in the beginning. You give me
we're on the same page. I love the rarities version. Back when Beatles Rarities was out,
yes,
it was a little bit faster. It had the birds at the beginning, and there's a little more treble on the vocals. I will listen to two or three other different versions, and that version is very hard to find if you're just poking around.
Right.
But I will listen to several different versions before I listen to the actual version that's on the Let It Be album.
I love all the versions of that. I want to say that. But it's very much like, you know, when I first heard the acoustic While My Guitar Gently Weeps and the extra line in that, and it's so soulful and so haunting, I fell in love with that song like I never loved it before. And sometimes, you know, another version of a song will do that. You know, here's a song that we've known all our lives growing up, and all of a sudden, wow, there's another version of it, and it's just a little different or a lot different. And it makes you there's some songs I wish I could hear more versions of. I wish there were more versions of "And Your Bird Can Sing." I wish there were more versions of "For No One." I mean, there's a handful of songs that I think if we ever heard outtakes or acoustics or, you know, versions that were rejected for whatever reason, I think, you know, it put new light on old songs. And I love that. And I'm glad you mentioned the Across the Universe, because that's a perfect example of just that.
The other one I've got along that lines is probably Grow Old With Me. There's three or four versions out there that I've heard, and I love them all, but there are one or two that I like more than others. So
yeah, I wish Paul covered that. I think Ringo covered it, Mary Chapin covered it. A lot of people have covered that. I wish Paul did a version of that.
Well, I'm talking all John Lennon copies. No, there's different versions.
There's at least three, if not four, different versions of it by John. Mm-hmm. But I was upon what you said. And because that's one of those songs that have been covered, you know, you never say no one ever touches the original, but have done great jobs of it. And, yeah, that's a song that I would have loved to have been a Beatles song. That's why I said I would love if Paul covered it. Because if that was an unreleased track, and it was unreleased for a long time, that would have been an amazing anthology release. I mean, that would have been the number one. You know, that would have come even before Free as a Bird.
It's an amazing song that most people don't even know exists if they're not a Beatles or John Lennon fan.
Agreed.
Well, Charles, it has been a blast having you on. I could talk to you all night about this. You already know. And I might have to get up to your way, maybe even for the Salem Paracon and finally get to meet you in person sometime.
I would love that. For the fans who are listening, the book is available on Amazon, obviously. But if they want a signed copy, a lot of people love when the author personalizes it. The website is www.bookoftop10beatleslists.com. And if they want to get both of my top 10 list books, the original Book of Top 10 Horror Lists.com, still on sale, still selling copies, or on Amazon.
Talk about your tours you got coming up, they can find out about those.
So next month is sold out. It's my 40th anniversary of doing the Beatles tours to London and Liverpool. It's our Magical History Tour. And we're actually doing a recording session inside Abbey Road. That's completely sold out. But if people want to join us next year and walk in the footsteps of the Beatles to London, to Henley, which is George's home, and then Liverpool for a week, visit www.liverpooltours.com. For the Transylvania trip, the Vampire Vacation, it's www.dractours.com. And we still have space for this. We do it over Halloween, October 27th. To November 3rd, we still have some space if someone wants to go on a travel adventure to the unholy land. They're welcome.
Nice.
To call me and we'll make that happen.
What Paracons you got coming up?
Salem Paranormal and Horror Convention, November 11th and 12th at Salem State University in Salem, Massachusetts, with my partner, Nick Grossman, who's one half of the Shaman and the Showman. He's the Shaman. He's the real deal, the psychic, the clairvoyant. And I'm the Showman. I'm, you know, making sure everyone has a good time and putting on the show.
Awesome. Brother, I appreciate you coming on. This is, like I said, this has been a blast. I love it every time you're on. And now I can't wait for you to write another book. Maybe we can do a Dracula Castle top 10 or something. We'll just get people from Transylvania do their top 10 moments at the castle or something.
I love it. Well, you know, I love coming on. And, you know, when I remembered that we talked about the horror and had such a great show and we hadn't done the Beatles, I said, can we? And you said, when. You were right there for me, and I appreciate that. I wish you the best of health. I wish you more successful shows, and I do want to meet you in person sometime soon.
Awesome. I can't wait, brother. And like I said, much success to the book and everything else you got going on.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right, Charles, later. All right, that wraps it up for us this week. Thanks so much for all of your patience and all of your concern for Tracy's health. We greatly appreciate it, and we love you guys.
Yes, I appreciate you guys so much. You are my world, and I just want y'all to have a blessed week.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT. Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.